Turn with me now, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I do not believe that I could begin to tell you right now how important I feel this message is. I hope to reach us, and I hope to comfort us with what our Lord has written here. But there are people out in this world who do not truly know God, and they do not have a heart to gather with the saints to worship Him. And they are going to leave this world having missed Christ. And there will be no hope for their souls. And they will spend an eternity suffering God's utter damnation on their sin. There will be people out there in the world who are going to miss Christ, and that will be their end. But do you know that there are going to be people who spend their whole life sitting in a pew? Even where the truth of God is taught. Gathering with the saints for worship, who are still going to miss Christ. They're still going to miss Christ. And just like those who have no regard for God at all, they're going to go out into eternity with no hope for their souls, and they're going to suffer the same damnation on their sin. If a person spends his or her whole life sitting in the pew of a false church, hearing a false gospel concerning a false Christ, obviously they're going to miss Him. Obviously. False church, false gospel, false Christ. Obviously, they're going to miss Him. But what I'm saying tonight is, and I'm truly saying this, what I'm saying tonight is, there are people who are sitting in true churches where the true gospel is preached concerning the true Christ of Scripture, and oh, so sadly, how sad is it to be in that environment? And they're never going to lay hold on Christ. And it's because He never laid hold on them. And they're going to half-heartedly toy with His doctrines. That's what they're going to do. They're going to very half-heartedly toy with His doctrines. And they're going to miss Him. And I'm telling you this right now because I don't want that to be us. I sincerely don't want that to be us. You've heard me say that before, and you'll hear me say that again, Lord willing. But I mean it. I mean it. Now, here's what's going to happen tonight and every time that we gather together for the rest of our days on this earth. The message of the gospel is going to tell us, it's going to tell us to lay hold on Christ. That's what the message of the gospel is going to say. Lay hold on Christ, okay? The message of the gospel is going to say, Christ is all. Christ is all. He is the pearl of great price. He is the one thing needful. There is one thing needful. Lay hold of Him alone, Him alone. All right, that's what the message of the gospel is going to say. And the scripture of God's word, the word itself, is going to tell us that only those who God has first laid hold of will lay hold of Him. Only those who God has first laid hold of will in turn lay hold of Him. The Apostle Paul said, I apprehend the one who apprehended me. So the evidence of who God has laid hold of is this. When that urgent command, when it becomes urgent, we get to that urgent place. When that urgent command goes forth to lay hold of Christ, lay hold of Christ. God's people, those who are God's people, will desperately cry. This is what they will cry. Lord, lay hold of me and make me lay hold of you. I understand something of you. I understand something of me. And I know that this is the only cry I have. Lay hold of me and make me lay hold of you. All right, that's what God's people will do. And those who are not God's people, in that same declaration, in that same gospel message, in that same congregation, those who are not God's people will be content to let it go in one ear and out the other. And then they will walk out of the building saying, that was a great message. They will, just like everybody else is doing. That's what everybody else is doing. I'm not saying that. You know what I mean by that. It's what everybody else is doing. They'll have some, they've been toying with the doctrines. That was a great message. Yeah, wasn't that a great message? Oh, yeah, but brother, you better believe it. Hit the nail on the head. That's what they'll walk out of here saying. Hit the nail on the head. Yes, sir. Now, when I tell you that I don't want that to be us, I'm telling you, I don't want that to be us. This is so, I was just sitting there, you know, singing our song, so thankful to have a song leader in this moment, hearing about, I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It's enough that He died and shed His blood. That's enough for me, you know. And singing these songs, thinking about we're worshiping the Lord, we're going to spend eternity with. We're going to be with Him forever. We're going to... I want to make it there. I want to be persevered all the way to the end. I don't want to be one of those who it said of them, they went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. I do not want that to be us. I don't want one soul in this building to miss Christ. I would say one soul in this room, but we got some souls in the nursery down there. We got a nursery worker down there. I don't want one soul in this building to miss Christ. Let's not leave this world having missed Christ. And I'm saying that to myself first. The Apostle Paul said the same thing to himself. He said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, after I have preached to others, I don't want to find that I have missed Christ. And I don't either. I don't either. How can I know if I am missing Christ? How can I know if I am right now playing the game of religion, toying with the doctrines of the truth, and I'm going to wind up being one of the ones who misses Christ in the end. How can I know if I'm missing Him right now, which will cause me to end up missing Him in the end? Well, our Lord gave us a key to that answer in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 6. If you look at verse 19, this is what He said right here. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Verse 21, He said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." How can I know if I am missing Him? How can I know if I've laid hold of Him or if I'm missing Him? How can I know? This is what He said in verse 21. "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We will know what our treasure is, what we've laid hold of, by examining our hearts. Solomon said, "Out of the heart are the issues of life." The heart is the issue. The heart is the issue. A man or a woman can have everything down pat, right in the mind. Okay? Scriptures. They can quote scriptures, King James Version, scriptures, rattle them off, doctrines, truths, and can still miss Christ. And the reason is because out of the mind are not the issues of life. It's out of the heart. Two people getting married. It's pretty fervent on my mind at the moment. Two people getting married. That is not a mind thing. It's just not. Two people don't get married because it makes sense. Well, I just think, yeah, it's probably the best. It's not why you get married. It's not a mind thing. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And that's how it is with the things concerning Christ and His bride. It's a heart thing. It's eternal life with Him. It is a heart thing. Look with me at Matthew 15. The Lord is condemning a group of religious people right here. And He said to them, "This is your problem." He said, "This right here is your problem." Matthew 15, verse 7, He said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" And what He's saying in that is, I am not their treasure. They draw nigh to me. Think about what He's saying there. They draw nigh to me. And He said, they honor me. They draw nigh to me and they honor me. But here's the problem. He said, I'm not their treasure. Where their treasure is, there will their heart be also. And He said, their heart is far from me. Now, I'm going to ask myself this question, and you need to ask yourself this question. Is Christ my treasure? Has Christ been made to be my treasure? Your treasure is where your heart is. It's where your desire is and your need is. It's where your need is. Everybody has something that they need. Everybody does. Your treasure is what you hold on to with all your might. It's what you hide to keep it safe. Do you have anything that you have hidden in your house or hidden somewhere? Why do you do that? It's because you don't want anybody to come in and steal it. You don't want thieves to break through and steal. Your treasure is what consumes your thoughts and influences your actions. Your treasure does. And that's because your heart is constantly seeking it. We will spend all of our time searching for our treasure, just like a pirate does. That's what we will do. We'll spend all of our time searching for our treasure. It'll be a need that consumes our heart until that need is fulfilled. All right, now honestly, is Christ my treasure? If we get honest with ourselves, all of us, if we get honest with ourselves, it'll strike fear into us. If we really, really, really get honest, if we don't just rattle off, you know, spout something off, if we stop and think and search the heart, say this is a heart thing and go into the heart, and we get truly honest with ourselves on this, it'll strike great fear into us because we will recognize the worldly needs and desires of the flesh. Honestly, is he my treasure? Is he my treasure? I believe him. But do I need him? I believe him. But do I need him? Do I search for him and the things concerning him as much as I search for the things concerning this world? Do I? Do I listen to the gospel as much as I listen to the radio? Which is easier to hold your attention and really? Do I set aside as much time to pray as I do to surf the internet on my phone? Really? Just subconsciously, what do I desire? What do I need? Do I become as absorbed and engaged and engrossed in the Word of God as much as the news? Am I as urgently concerned about eternity as I am my retirement accounts? Really? Do I check the promises of the Word as often as I do the stock ticker? I don't have stocks, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Honestly, am I as concerned about my worship as I am my work? Honestly, is Christ my treasure? Is Christ my treasure? If we get honest, I believe every single person here is going to have to say, oh man, I don't know. I don't know. I want him to be. I want to say yes, but we're getting honest. I desperately want him to be, but because of my flesh, I'm doubting myself. I really am. I'm doubting myself. Which is easier, to read God's Word for 3 hours or surf the internet? Which is easier? If we get honest, we're going to have to say, I don't trust myself. Where my treasure is where my heart will be. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. Lay up treasures in heaven. I don't trust myself with this. I'm so easily drawn away. I'm so easily impressed and enamored by the flashy things of this world. I am still so consumed with the fleshly things that I was always consumed with. Still, is Christ my treasure? Is He really? Is He really? Here's how we can know. If we are satisfied, and this is honest. If we're satisfied to let this question go in one ear and out the other one without giving it much concern at all, and if we're satisfied to assume that Christ is our treasure. Is Christ my treasure? Yeah. If we're satisfied to assume that Christ is our treasure, just so we can forget about this and move on. If this issue doesn't seem to be a matter of urgency that needs to be looked after and made secure right now, let's find the answer to this right now. Let's not leave the service until we find the answer to this right now. If that's not the case, then He is probably not our treasure. If we're indifferent to it, if you're indifferent to something, it's not your treasure. Does that make sense? I'll give you an example. We were on the beach, a week or so ago. I kept looking for two things, shark's teeth and sand dollars and whole spiral conch shells. Other than that, I'd pull something up, throw it back. Pull something up, throw it back. It was not my treasure. I was indifferent to it. But if hearing this question brings a fearful urgency to us, and we need to get to the bottom of this, and if you won't be able to rest until this issue is settled in your heart, and if thinking on this makes you cry from the depths of your soul, Lord, I don't trust myself. I don't trust my desires and I don't trust my priorities. I don't trust where my heart of flesh is. Where is your heart? I don't trust where it is. Sometimes I don't know where it is. I don't trust what my flesh is seeking after. I don't believe for one minute I have the ability in me to make you my treasure. I don't believe I have that for one second. Lord, you're going to have to do it. I need for you to do it. If our cry is, Lord, you must do this for me. You must do this for me. Jacob said, I cannot let you go until you bless me. You must do this for me. I cannot afford to miss you. I don't have it in my ability to make you my treasure. I'm so sorry. But I cannot afford to miss you. I need your blood to cover my sin. I don't know where my heart is. I don't. I don't know what my flesh is doing. There's no telling what I'm seeking after, but I'm saying that I need your blood to cover my sin. I must have your righteousness or I'll never be able to be accepted into the presence of God. You must answer for me before the judgment throne. I know I can't answer for myself. I know I can't. Lord, please, if you don't save me, but if you leave me to myself and all of the ungodly, wicked, sinful treasures that my flesh is so prone to go seeking after. If you leave me to myself and you don't do something for me and you don't help me, then I'm going to die right here in my prone to wander sins. If this is left up to me, I'm going to be seeking the wrong thing. And I'm going to die in my sins. Lord, please make Christ to be my treasure. Please, in spite of me, I see and I believe that there is one thing needful. I see this flesh won't go after it. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to make me go after it. You're going to have to draw me to Him. You're going to have to pull me to Him. I do not trust myself to go after Him. So please make Him, make Christ to be my treasure. I believe Him. Make me need Him. Make me need Him. All right? If that is you, if you can enter into what I'm saying, if that's you, after looking within and searching your own heart, if after doing that, all you can do is beg God to put that desperate need for Christ in you, if that is you, and that's all you're left with after your search, Lord, make Christ to be my treasure. Put that desperate need for Him in me. If that's you, then turn to Philippians chapter 4. You want to talk about good news? We're about to read it. Philippians 4, verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If you find yourself in a place because of your wicked flesh where you cannot see that treasure need in you, but you are begging God to put it there, then rest assured, according to His promise, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, God shall supply all your need. If you can't see it, but you're begging Him for it, God shall supply all your need. If you need for Christ to be your treasure, the Lord will provide. If you can't provide it yourself, God shall supply all your need. Everything you need to have fulfilled, He'll supply all your need. Everything that you need to have fulfilled and everything you need to have as a need, God will put the need there and then He'll fill it. And if you want to have that proven to you, then honestly ask yourself this. All right? Honestly ask yourself this. I don't trust my flesh. I don't trust my heart. I don't trust anything about me. Nothing. But just ask yourself this question. What would you be willing to give or take in exchange for your soul? And this is what I mean by that. Come up with a number. All right? Come up with a number. How much money would it take? Come up with a number. How much money would it take for you to give up your interest, give up your part in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Come up with a number. How much would it take? Let's find out where your treasure is. What dollar amount would it take for you to say, "I will give up the blood of Jesus Christ for that amount of money"? If the whole world was made out of solid gold, we would grind it to powder and say, "Give me the blood of my salvation," wouldn't we? By God's grace. By God's grace. By His grace, if we were offered from here on, a remaining life of absolute ease, no more troubles, no more worries, no more problems, no more sorrows. You can have total, total ease. But in exchange for that, Christ could no longer be our advocate. No longer advocate for us before the throne. He could no longer make intercession for us as our mediator to God. If that was our choice, which one would you choose? There's no hesitation, is there? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not careful about these matters. We're not full of care. We don't need to think about this. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, are working a far greater eternal weight of glory for us. Every child of God will say, I gladly suffer with Him, that I may win Him and be found in Him. A moment ago in our scripture reading, the Lord told Martha, He said, there's only one true treasure for a child of God. There's only one thing needful. And the Apostle Paul said right here, God shall supply all your needs. And I'm so glad there's not an S on the end of that. Need. All your need. Where our treasure is, that's where our hearts will be. So Lord, give our hearts to Christ. Give our hearts to Christ. Give us that one great need. Give us a need for Christ. Make Him to be our treasure. And do it by giving our hearts to Him. Lord, this is in Your hands. Our hope is in You. And I'm just going to close. I was going to read John Newton's 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who've never heard His name. And he ends by saying, You decide this doubtful case. Thou who art the people's Son. If indeed You have begun a work of grace, let me love You more and more. If I've never loved before, let me start today, right now. Please, You do this for me. You do this for me. Make Christ to be our treasure. May God make that to be so. All right, Brother Dwight, you come.